Actually, Jason is out today. He is enjoying the Memorial Day. And I hope that you all are too. Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia on this Memorial Day. With you until 5:30. We're going to take it till 5:30. Then at 5:30, we have Twins pregame starting here on The Good Neighbor. And I wanted to start today's show with thinking about what today represents. And I start there because, you know, I'm that guy that oftentimes, specifically on the weekends, when you're not running around a million different places, you're not doing, you're not in the middle of the work week, I like to reflect. I think that reflecting is something that is great for every individual out there, specifically with regards to just your mindset. And thinking about what you do that's productive in life and what you want to get accomplished moving forward. And I had a moment of reflection when I thought about being here on this Memorial Day and not necessarily doing the radio show, but just being in this moment with all of the things that are going on in the world and what have went on in the world before us. And I oftentimes, and I can't be the only one, I am, in my opinion, I'll be a little bit harsh on myself today. I am too forgetful at times about making sure that I am cognizant of remembering those that put it all on the line. And so I aim to remember more. And I'm not sitting here saying that I'm not, that I'm an ungrateful human being. That's not the point that I'm making. What I'm saying, though, is I think that we get so caught up in our daily lives and our routines and everything that's going on that the little things that we're allowed to do, we overlook the fact that there have been people and continue to be people that will put their life on the line to protect the country, okay? And I acknowledge that. You guys know that. And I think that that's something that I want to try to do a little bit more is remember those that we lost. Every time that I come across an individual that's in uniform, I give them their respect. Every time that I see an elderly person that has the, you know, the cool, they have the cool hat that showcases that they are veteran, Josh Wheeler's producing today.
Yep.
I thank them for their service, mm-hmm. right? But those are the people that are with us.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are walking amongst us. The people that didn't make it back, that lost their lives, their family, their community, those people, I want to, you know, for the rest of my life, or as much as I can, think more about them. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a cool story, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's an elderly man that they fundraised to get him a scooter. And one of the things that he wanted to do with the scooter was he wanted to be able to move around, you know, better, right? Like you need that assistance physically. And he wanted to go and put down so many flags in the cemetery for those lost soldiers, those people that we lost years ago. And it took my breath away. Number one, when I saw the story and it showcased how grateful he was he had tears in his eyes when he found out that they had come up with like $6,000 or $7,000 for him to get this new equipment. And then he said, the first thing that I want to do is be able to go out in the cemetery and plant those flags. And I think that he actually was a part of doing that this weekend. So I thought about that, and it just, it makes you.
He's known as Patriotic Kenny.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I saw him on Instagram. Yep. Patriotic Kenny.
Yep.
Thank you for the assist there. You're very Chris Paul like. I love that. But when I saw that, it took my breath away because it really speaks to the heart of who we all should be in terms about caring for those that cared for all of us. But with that, too, I get super reflective when I think about, like, my family. And I think about, like, my grandfather. He fought in the war many, many, many years ago. And my grandfather's been dead now for almost 13 years. But and he didn't die in combat, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that. But I think about other family members that did go over and fought and didn't make it back. And there's something I have saved on my phone because one of the things that my grandmother, who passed away almost 20 years ago now, something that she wanted to do, was never able to do, and my dad, on her behalf, wants to get this done eventually, is my grandmother had a brother that died and overseas, and he's buried overseas. And my father, he wants to get over there to visit the gravesite. And this screenshot that I have here, it reads, Clyde Jones Jr., Private First Class, U.S. Army, from Arkansas. Date of death, January 16th, 1945, World War II. And it shows where he's buried in Cambridge, United Kingdom, hour and a half outside of London. So when I have this saved in my phone, in this, the information, I got to tell you, Josh, it makes me feel a certain way, especially on today.
Yeah, it's a big day. It's a day that I think, I know it sounds super cliche, and I'm sure a lot of people have said it, but it's definitely, it shouldn't be one day. It should be pretty frequent that we take a minute to step back and thankful for what we have and what people have sacrificed for us.
And to me, it's not like we think about it and honor it on this one day. But yes, you're right. Yeah. Like it, and that's my hope. That's my entire.
You can just kind of summarize my entire point.
This is something that we want to do like continuously all
correct.
The time.
You can drive down 494 on a random Thursday and think about it, but like being able to actually sit back and reflect and take time out of your busy schedule to do it is easier said than done. So
it's just, I think about that in a text from Karen in Northeast. My uncle Lawrence was killed in World War II. And, you get emotional on this day. And I think another thing, too, that makes me a little bit more emotional than others, or maybe just, I won't say emotional, but a different perspective. I'll put it like that. Is, and I'm not trying to take anybody off by saying this, but this is just me, okay? I'm not a fan of wars. Like, I understand that our world isn't a perfect place. And I understand that there's going to be conflict and there's going to be combat. I totally get that. But when I think about what we lose with all the lives that we lose, the families impacted, it just, I think we all strive and want peace, and that's what I like to think about. Mm-hmm. But clearly, when you have people that have served and serve, you think about their well-being every single day. She goes on to say, I absolutely love, love, love what you're talking about today. I'm busy getting ready for a barbecue. Otherwise, I would call. We are kindred spirits. I know we are when I listen to your talk. God bless. Take care. Enjoy your day, and go Twins and go Wolves. Thank you so much, Karen in Northeast. I truly do appreciate that because I think that we all should be a lot more reflective about what we've lost, but also think about what we can gain. All right, coming up next, the first actual topic in me getting out of my feelings today is, look, I did something yesterday, people. I did something yesterday that I typically don't do. I didn't want to risk missing out on something, and I'll tell you what that is. I made a big purchase. We get to that next year on The Lake Show. All right, welcome back. It is Drive Time with DeRussia. It's not The Lake Show. It's Drive Time with DeRussia. Henry Lake is here on this Memorial Day, and I'm hanging out with Josh Wheeler, Laura Oaks doing the news. News Talk 830 WCCO. So I did something that I didn't want to do. I knew I was going to do. Let me preface it by saying, and let me explain this correctly and lay out the story. I knew that I was getting ready to make a purchase this summer. Okay. There was a purchase I was going to make this summer, and I was looking to do it come July as we got closer to the 4th of July and my trip of heading to NBA Summer League and also another trip that I have coming up. But I said to myself, I'm not going to delay this purchase. The purchase that I made yesterday was I went to the Apple store and I bought a new iPhone. Okay. Now, I know many of you are like, well, so what? You just bought a new phone. It was time for you to get a new phone. But I went ahead and did it now as opposed to 5 weeks from now. Because when I saw this news with regards to Apple and Donald Trump with the tariffs, I didn't want to risk the price shooting up. I just didn't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be part of the games that is the tariff war. And so I said to myself, I have the money. Let me just go ahead and buy this damn phone. And if the price ends up increasing in the next month, then I got ahead of it. Bottom line, I knew I was going to have to pony up and get a new phone anyway. Okay, it was time. I feel like, Josh, they make these phones to last like 4 or 5 years. And then at that particular point, the batteries aren't charging right. Yep. There's so much, you know, I don't have enough data. That's a me thing because I, you know, when you buy a phone, you select how much data and gigabytes, whatever you're going to have on there. And so I went way up this time around because I knew I was kind of close. I was, you know, I had one of those weeks where I was like deleting videos and pictures and all this other stuff, whatever. But the bottom line is when I saw this, the Truth Social post from Donald Trump where he says, quote, I have long ago informed Tim Cook of Apple that I expect their iPhones that will be sold in the United States of America will be manufactured and built in the U.S., not India or any place else. If that is not the case, a tariff of at least 25% must be paid by Apple to the U.S. And, you know, Apple CEO Tim Cook, being warned by Donald Trump that it's that he's going to charge him, this 25% tariff, regardless of whatever you think about that specific point, mm-hmm. I'm not going to risk a $1,000 product significantly going up. I'm not doing that. I'm not waiting to see. I'm not playing any games. It's time. I went ahead, gave him the credit card, boom, made the purchase.
Got to get it done and got to get out of the way. You forgot to mention the cords and some of the actual physical pieces that always constantly change. Like my wife has a newer iPhone now than I do, and mm-hmm. she uses the USB-C that like MacBooks and other devices now
like
use.
This.
Yeah, yeah. So now that is the that's the new iPhone charger where I have still the Lightning Bolt port plug-in for mine.
Yes, so. I was surprised by that too when I took it out of the case. Mm-hmm. The new cord, you can't use the old ones because she must have a 16, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's what I ended up getting to. And that's another thing. I'm not the person that goes and buys the most up-to-date phone. This is not my thing because I'm like, I'm not fancy. I don't need to do that, right? Well, if we're talking about we're kind of in this state of we're not sure what's going to happen with electronics and all this other stuff and there's no telling. There could be delays in new iPhones coming out. There could be a lot of. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to buy the most up-to-date thing. Let me go ahead and get this, 16 Pro and get it out of the way. So you're right. Yeah. Like
it's kind of like when the markets crash. People were kind of pulling out early before it was too late while they could get it, while the getting's good.
The accessories are always an added thing. Mm-hmm. You got to buy a screen protector. You got to buy a case.
Oh, yeah.
You got to buy all the extra stuff, and all that stuff adds up, man. Mm-hmm. Like you think that you're gonna walk out of a store paying $700 or $800 for a phone, but then when you start adding on all the different things to make sure the device doesn't get harmed, you're easily walking out
it's about
paying
half
a grand.
The phone. Yeah, it's,
yeah.
You know, like if you want a good phone case, we're not talking like go to Walmart and get a $10 case. Get something that's going to protect. Every
I actually did do the $10 case.
Yeah, it's shocking.
I grabbed it off of Amazon last night.
Yeah, well. We'll see how long that lasts.
I know. I'm going to have to buy a better one. But this is the thing. 651-461-9226. Any of you out there think like I think with regards to this, and you see some of the commentary, some of the quotes, some of the threats, and you say, you know what? I have the money right now. I'm not in a pinch to where I have to hold on to the money. I can go ahead and make the purchase now and get ahead of any possible issues. Are you like me? 651-461-9226. Because that's essentially what I did. I did that, Josh. I was the guy that last week was reactionary to these comments. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get ahead of it. I know that I'm going to have to break down and get it anyway, so let's just go ahead and get it done. It's almost like the person that they know that they have to find a new vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to find a new vehicle, and you wait, because a lot of us, we do try to wait till the last minute, right? Because you want to maximize what you paid money for years ago, but there comes that point where you're gauging it and you're like, I'm kind of right at the edge. I don't want to do too much.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's kind of it just kind of depends on what spot you're in. Like, I am fortunate enough that I don't have to spend money on my phone bill because my mom has me on her plan because it's just cheaper all around for her to
have. It's not about the bill, it's about the actual device.
Yeah, true. Like the pieces, like, we already struggled with that kind of thing when COVID hit, where a lot of people weren't really able to push these products out and kind of make any adjustments because of the cost of, you know, microchips and stuff like that, and it was just not in supply and demand, where now it's like, all right, well, 25% is a big chunk of money when you're looking at the grand scheme of iPhones being produced.
Yeah, I just, man.
And I hate to say it, some other countries can do things better than we can. I hate to be that guy,
I think that the notion is pretty ridiculous that you say, yeah, you got to make it here.
Correct.
Or we're going to put a tariff. I mean, I just think that that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's to tell any business person, because we talk about, because we live in a capitalist society, right? Like, and of course we want good American products. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be supportive of good American products. But to say that we shouldn't allow it to be kind of a more of a global thing,
yeah,
that's insane to me. I mean, Donald Trump, like, his apparel and a lot of the things that he has made in years past are made in other countries.
Yeah.
So I think it's really hypocritical for him to even say that to
Yeah, there's no need to puff out your chest at something like this where, you know, you can, it's okay to rely on other exterior assets and assistance when it comes to producing these. So.
Agreed. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And then there's a specific reason for Twins fans, in my opinion, to be optimistic this season about Twins baseball. We get to that next here on. I'm disgusted because I almost missed the sponsor there. Weather was brought to you by B&M Tree Service. Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia. It is Drive Time with DeRussia. Josh Wheeler is producing. I want to talk some Twins baseball at this specific moment because Twins have been red hot. I know they lost yesterday to Kansas City. You know, I'm not expecting them to sweep every single series. But the Twins have been playing really, really well. Okay. And today, they'll try to continue their winning ways as they have a 6:05 first pitch pregame right here on the radio home for your Twins. Starts at 5:30. We will take it all the way up until 5:30. Twins in Tampa to face the Rays. But there's one specific reason for the Twins to be more optimistic this season than maybe the last season or so. It's the pitching. The pitching has been that good. It's been absolutely elite. And think about that. For so long, we have not said that about Twins baseball. We've not talked about elite pitching. Now, I know 2 years ago, our pitching was pretty solid. I get that. But we typically don't say that. Historically, when we talk about Twins baseball, we think about all the position players that have been greatly impactful for this team. We've also talked about, historically, this team never really does a great job of of developing pitching. I'll put it that way. Developing pitching. Right now, this squad is on their A game pitching-wise. I know that he didn't get the win yesterday, but Bailey Ober has been awesome. Joe Ryan has been awesome. Chris Paddock, who takes the mound tonight, has been awesome lately. Like, where is that coming from? Pablo Lopez, we know he's a boss. Simeon Woods Richardson had some good efforts early. He came back to the pack and was sent down to St. Paul here just recently in the last, 10 days. But I like what we're getting out of our pitching, and that makes me super optimistic. This has always been a team. I don't want to say always, okay? But it's been an organization where they would have one, maybe another solid pitcher, but then you're trying to fill in the blanks with has-been pitchers, right? I'm dead serious. No. People that are past their prime.
Yeah.
Right now, that's not the case. You cannot sit there and say that the guys, the top four pitchers that you have, any of them are past their prime.
Remember when we had Kenny Rogers on our team? That's a past your prime pitching. But it's funny to bring up pitching because the best example of a 1-2 punch that so far that we can really reflect on, at least in the last 20 years that we've had, is easily Santana and Liriano. It's not even close. And
that was amazing.
And that was
Liriano was a rookie.
Yes. Yeah. And it became kind of a flawed 1-2 punch once those injuries started setting in. And now we've seen basically a plethora of good talent come through this, both the farm system and the majors. And now it's just, all right, we have Pablo, we have Bailey, Paddock's starting to show finally. But I mean, we're seeing glimpses. And it's so far so good.
I love it because I think that for so many years, and I love your reaction, 651-461-9226. I love that we're talking about pitching more with regards to Twins baseball. And I say that because as Twins fans, we have been conditioned to think about offense so much and how to create offense, right? Like, one minute, it's the it's small ball, mm-hmm. right? The next minute, it's what do we call our home run guys 5 years ago?
Bomba squad?
The Bomba squad, yeah. So 1 minute, it's the Bomba squad. And then I can't remember what they called what they call them, whether it was Nick Punto and those guys are here.
Oh, Piranhas?
The Piranhas. Yeah. Like, thank you. It just... Right now, regardless of how you get the runs across, and we need runs. You can't win if you don't score runs. Mm-hmm. But regardless of all of that, you know what you're really good at right now? Your starting rotation. and I said this last week, and I've been critical, and I brought this up with Derek Falvey when I had him on the Lake Show last Thursday, is that I have been highly critical of this organization and this team's bullpen. The last couple of years. I thought that last year everybody crowned him. Like Denny Green, if you want to crown him, go ahead and crown him. We weren't good last year in the bullpen. I just didn't feel it. Now, some of that you can say, okay, partly due to injuries. I get that. That's fine. But when you talk about this year, the first part of the year, I didn't think our bullpen was very good either. And you had people that were looking shaky. Griffin Jackson's one of them. Right now, this bullpen looks awesome.
Pretty good.
This bullpen looks awesome. The only person right now, I don't want to say only person, there's two guys that make me nervous when they go in. Can you guess who those two are? Mm. There's only two. Only two.
Does Duran make you nervous?
Nope.
Okay. I'm blanking, honestly.
Jorge Alcala?
Okay, yeah.
He makes me nervous, and Cole Sands makes me nervous. Nobody else does.
Cole Sands, another guy that had had some bright spots early on, but
no, and he was fine yesterday.
Yeah,
I thought he was fine yesterday. Louis was fine yesterday too, and Louis, I don't get nervous when Louis goes into games now. A year ago, I was nervous when Louis Varland would go in a game, but now I feel fine.
It was I think it was the last year, or the year before. You and I talked on these very airwaves about running through the bullpen, and we listed each pitcher off, who do we trust? And it was pretty much zero. Fast forward to now, there's a good few hands that you can rely on to get through the middle, the tough middle parts of the innings or of the game.
Yeah. I'm just happy that the Twins have put part of their identity now that we all should look at and acknowledge is the identity of good pitching. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people will think about the Twins and they'll think, okay, what about Royce Lewis? What about Byron Buxton? What about Carlos Correa? But you need to think more along the lines of Bailey Ober, he's good. Joe Ryan, he's good. Oh, yeah, that guy Pablo Lopez, former All-Star, he's good. I said going into the year, and one of the predictions that I made was if this team is going to take the next step, one of the individuals that has to not regress is Bailey Ober. Mm-hmm. And Bailey Ober has not regressed. Good thing for Twins fans all across Twins territory. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, it's been 5 years since the murder of George Floyd. We discuss it next. 5 years ago, George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin of the Minneapolis Police Department. And it's something that a nation will never forget, the world will never forget, that we here as Minnesotans will never forget because we lived through it. This community lived through it. It happened here in our state. It happened here in the Twin Cities. And so there's a feeling, there's an impact. It affected us in a way that didn't impact and affect other people around the world. It affected everybody. I remember having a moment on air, late night, when I saw the video and got emotional on air. I don't think that anybody should ever forget what took place, nor will people forget. I think that when we think about George Floyd and what took place 5 years ago, the first thing that comes to mind is that we should all want for better policing. That's the number one thing. You should all want better policing. We all want to live in a world where interactions with police will be better. And I'm not saying this to say that every person that interacts with a police officer or law enforcement is a saint, is an angel, is doing everything. We know that there are levels to this. You come across a serial killer or somebody with a machine gun, like how you deal with George Floyd and how you deal in the Uvalde school shootings, different situation, right? We get that. That's why the flexibility, the versatility in policing is a must to be able to adapt to different situations. But also, I would hope and think that people all want to be respected. And to me, the take when I say be respected is you don't have to have a particular thought about who George Floyd was as a human being. I never met George Floyd. I didn't know George Floyd. Only thing that I can go off of is reports or people that he worked for, his bosses. I know that there was an op-ed, there was an opinion piece actually in the Star Tribune last week about a woman that knew them both, Derek Chauvin and George Floyd, because her establishment, they worked there, okay? I didn't know him, but I didn't need to know him to know that regardless of whether the allegation of him passing a counterfeit bill is true or false, that as a human being, he should have been treated with respect. He should not have died on the pavement that day on 35th in Chicago. Not acceptable at all. It doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take a human being to understand that that was not good police work. And I have the utmost respect for law enforcement. Have way too many friends, family members, been a part of law enforcement. So that's like part of the reason why I know that that was just bad police work. You don't do that. So, you know, I remember that night doing the show and shedding a tear about it. Because I knew the community and the world was hurting from that. No one wanted to see that. No one wanted to see that. It was a tragedy. I think that people should always remember it and never forget that. It's a very unfortunate thing. But that's just one of the things that people think about over the course of the last couple of days, because that's been on a lot of people's, you know, thoughts. It's been on a lot of people's hearts. And so that's just the bottom line when you look at all of those things. 651-461-9226. You started here 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a couple years after all this happened.
Do you remember where you were at when all the stuff was going down?
I was living in Plymouth, and I know I was right off 169 where you could pretty much see the sky was orange. You could see the fire from where I was at because everything kind of towers over that area of Plymouth where you're just on the outskirts of New Hope. And was working at Whole Foods at the time over in Maple Grove.
Really?
Definitely changed everything, even where I worked, where there was just a lot of it was a tough stretch during that first few weeks of working back there because there was people that wore Black Lives Matter stuff. There was, you know, and then people would get penalized for wearing that or fired or whatever. And it's just, it changed everything. And I think there's still a lot of people that refuse to accept that.
Yeah, I just, you know, we get into this thing, and I'm just going to call it like I see it. When people go down that path of disrespecting George Floyd and saying that fentanyl and all these different, you know, and he died, you're either a racist, you're ignorant,
yeah,
or you just intentionally want to be disrespectful to a dead person. That's all you want to do.
Yeah.
That's all you want to do. And I don't play those games. I'm not here for those games. Not going to do it. Not going to entertain it. The Indianapolis 500, oh, 1 year I want to go. Well, somebody, one of us, was there, and we'll also talk about the Frost and them being in the championship. Heather Rule, she joins us next. Drive Time with Drusha.